Please turn your Bible to the book of Colossians, and I want to make a correction, and that is today our meditation is on the subject of spiritual growth or spiritual maturity to prayer, and we will be looking only at verses 9 to 12 instead of 9 to 14. Time does not permit me to go beyond verse 12. So we will be considering verses 9 to 12. And so here the Apostle Paul moves from the first section of the letter, which is thanksgiving, and now he comes to this theme of prayer in this section. And the petition in his prayer centered mainly on spiritual blessings, not material or physical matters, for the Christian in Colossae. Now, this is not to say that Paul is teaching us that material or physical concerns or blessings are not important. It is not wrong for us to pray for our needs, our physical or material needs, or temporal needs, but the emphasis here is spiritual, because spiritual needs are vastly more weighty and of eternal value. And so it is the desire of the Apostle Paul for believers in Colossae to receive this blessing through the prayer of the Apostle Paul. And three kinds of spiritual blessings that the Apostle Paul has in mind. The first concerning the perfect knowledge of truth, verse 9. The second regarding the exercise of godliness and purity, verse 10. And the last, it is in respect of patience and enduring of the cross, in verse 11. Let us look at Paul's first petition for the Christian in Colossae. Paul prayed for perfect knowledge of the truth. The word perfect can mean full knowledge. He is praying that the Christians, the Colossian Christians, will be filled fully with the knowledge of the truth. You see, Paul did not plant this church in Colossae, or he has not meet the believers there. But Paul's motive of his prayer for them stems or flow from the good report that he received from this person by the name of Epaphras concerning their faith, concerning their love for Christ, concerning their love for the saints, and their hope laid up in heaven, and also, no doubt, their love for the Apostle Paul. And so their spiritual growth and spiritual maturity spur the Apostle Paul so much that he ceased not to pray for them regularly. Paul cared deeply for the church, the people of God, even though he has not met them. Upon receiving news of their spiritual well-being and knowing that the false teaching right now has crept into the church or threatened them, he responded with this letter, and in this part of his letter, he is telling them that I am praying for you. You see, the best way for us to show our love and our concern for our fellow believers, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we pray for them. That is the least you can do, isn't it? And this desire for them of God's spiritual blessing upon them. Do we pray such prayers for ourselves, for our fellow believers in Christ? Do we desire spiritual blessing from the Lord to God's people, to the church? And so Paul desires them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that for the believers to counter false teaching,
He knew that for the believers to be steadfast, unmovable, in the face of all these challenges and difficulties, especially of apostasy, they need to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be imbued with the knowledge of God's truth. When a person is born into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, he or she is born with all that he or she needs for spiritual growth and maturity. You can be assured of that, that God will indeed assist and aid you through His Holy Spirit to do that. And this is the purpose of the theme of the book of Colossians. You see that in chapter 2 verse 10. And ye complete in Him. Paul desire the Christians in Colossae and all of us who are in Christ to be complete, to mature in our faith. To be complete in Christ, we do not need new experiences or spiritual experiences. We only need to grow and mature in the knowledge of God's will. The Greek word translated knowledge in this verse carries the full, or rather the meaning of full knowledge, or perfect knowledge, as Paul puts it here in this verse. There is always more, isn't it, for us to learn about God and His will for our lives. We need not look for any other things. The 66 books here is enough to last more than your lifetime of study, of knowing God's will. And so there is no need for us to search for some new experiences. No Christian ever or would ever dare to say that he or she had arrived and needed to learn nothing more from God's word, or to learn nothing more of God's will. While it is true that believers will not be able to attain full or perfect knowledge of God's will in this earthly life, yet it is God's will that believers ought to increase in the understanding of the will of God. In the New Testament language, to be filled means to be controlled by. When we are filled with anger, what does it mean? It means that we are controlled by anger, isn't it? To be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, means to be controlled or influenced by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's prayer then is that these believers in Colossae, might be controlled or influenced by the full knowledge of God's will. And so how can you and I as believers, together with the Christian in Colossae, grow in the full knowledge of God's will? Look at verse 9. Paul's closing word of verse 9 says this: by means of what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding, or spiritual insight. This is the literal translation from the Greek. We understand the will of God through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us as we submit to the authority of God's Word. John 14:26. As we pray, as we sincerely and earnestly seek God's truth, the Holy Spirit, or God will through the Holy Spirit, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom, gives us the insight into His truth that we need. The deeper and fuller we know God's will, the easier it will be for us to determine His specific guidance in our daily life. Do you want to know God's will? Do you truly desire to know God's will for your life? Then what should you or ought to do? And that is to go into the Word of God. Paul did not encourage the Colossians Christians to seek for what? To seek for visions. To seek for, or to hear a voice coming from above. No, he prayed that they might get deeper, fuller into God's word. And thus, they will have greater wisdom and insight concerning God's will. Godly wisdom and spiritual understanding is the beginning of a successful fruitful Christian life. I repeat, godly wisdom and spiritual understanding is the beginning of a successful and fruitful Christian life. The first step towards the fullness of life is spiritual knowledge, not any other knowledge. Growing in the will of God by knowing the Word of God. The second petition Paul prayed for the Colossian Christians is this. Paul prayed for Christian conduct, or Paul prayed for practical obedience to the will of God. Paul's prayer is not for the believers to merely have an intellectual understanding or knowledge of God's will, but that this knowledge will be translated into their Christian conduct, meaning to say practical obedience to the will of God. Paul teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In the Christian life, knowledge and obedience go together. They do not go separately. There is no separation between learning and living. The wisdom which Paul desired and prayed for them was not merely head knowledge of some deep spiritual truth. And this is what the false teachers have done in the church in Colossae. This deep spiritual knowledge, but of no practical value. True spiritual wisdom must affect our daily life. Or should I say, must affect our heart. Wisdom and practical Christian living must go together. The Apostle Peter likewise teaches us, if we are growing in knowledge, we should also be growing in grace. Grace there refers to our Christian conduct. 2 Peter 3:18. So the progression of a believer's life is first wisdom, then walk, then work. I cannot work for God unless I am walking with Him first. But I cannot walk with Him if I am ignorant of God's will for my life. You see the progression there, the connection and the relationship. It is first wisdom, walk, then work. The believers who spend time daily in the Word of God and in communion with God will know God's will and be able to walk with Him and work for the Lord Jesus. It is the same, isn't it, in our relationship with a friend. The more you spend time with each other, the more you will know of each other's likes and dislikes. The more you will know of the person, isn't it? And that's how the friendship grows. And same, likewise, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Paul's prayer is that the Christian in Colossae walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Look at verse 10. Notice that it is not walking in a deceitful manner, but to walk according to the flesh. No, this is not Paul's teaching and Paul's prayer. The ultimate evidence of knowing God's will is living in a manner that is pleasing to God. How do I know that I know God's will for my life? It's by living it out that is pleasing to God. How then should a Christian walk? We should walk worthy of our calling. Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, worthy of the gospel. Paul says that again in Philippians 1:27, and which means we walk worthy of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. In summary, the chief aim of the Christian is to please God. To walk worthy of God or of our calling is to live a life as a believer that pleases God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Then Paul added to his prayer this, being fruitful in every good work. The believers by himself or herself cannot be spiritually fruitful. It is not we who work for God. It is God who works in us and through us to produce the fruits of graces, of grace, of His grace. Philippians 2:12-13. The work that we do or the work that we are able to perform is the outflow of the life that we live through the Holy Spirit. It is by abiding in Christ that we can produce fruit. John 15 verse 1. And in fact, the verses that follows in John 15 teaches us that. Jesus says what? Without me, ye can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches. Without Christ and without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can never be spiritually fruitful. And so as we obey God's will in our walk, as we serve Him and bear fruit, by the way, not every kind of fruitfulness, Paul is referring here, but what? Fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. When the Bible speaks of good works, it is referring to works that are commanded of God in Scripture and directed of God, not of our own invention. When we spend time with God, as we get to understand God and His will for our lives, and as we walk in obedience to His will, we will increase in the knowledge of God's will for our lives. Christian conduct or practical obedience means simply this. It's a repeat of the point that I've just made. It is pleasing God in every area of my life. Worshipping Him and serving Him and getting to know Him better. Therefore, we ought to pray like Paul for ourselves and for our fellow believers in this congregation and for our fellow believers worldwide, the universal church, that we may have a spiritual knowledge of the truth and that this knowledge might result in Christian conduct or practical obedience that glorify God. Knowing this, should we not begin to pray like what or how the apostle prayed for ourselves and for each other? The third petition Paul made for the Christians in Colossae is this. Paul prayed for godly conduct. Verse 10 again. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Spiritual wisdom and Christian conduct always relate to godly conduct or godly character or godly life. Spiritual knowledge, conduct, worship and service and character must always go together. We know God's will that we might obey it, and in obeying it, what do? We serve Him and grow in Christian character. While none of us is perfectly balanced in these four factors, nevertheless, as the Holy Spirit begins the work of sanctification in us, progressively, we ought to strive for that balance. In the last petition, Paul is teaching us that it is God, the Holy Spirit, that empowers us. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul uses two different Greek words for God's power or strengthening. For the word might. Now the first word that he used is dunamis, from which we get the English word dynamite, which means inherent power. And then the second word he used is kratos, which means manifested power, power that is put forth in action. And so the godly virtue of our Christian lives are but a result of God's power working in our lives through His Holy Spirit. Spiritual growth and maturity can only come as believers yield their lives, their will, their heart, their all to the work of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. If you and I refuse to surrender, submit, and to subject ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit or to the will of God, we will never be able to grow spiritually and mature. And so how does this glorious power of the Holy Spirit comes to us? I submit to you that it is through the gracious mediation and the intercession of Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father. It is Jesus right now sitting at the right hand of God the Father who is interceding for us every moment of our life, praying that God the Father will send His Holy Spirit to do that work in us. The promise of Christ in John 16 verse 7 is this: it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. Christ, therefore, as God, together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, gives the believer this glorious power of the Holy Spirit to enable His people to be spiritually fruitful. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in 3:16, he prays this, that He, referring to God, would grant you, what? According to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened, the same word here in verse 11, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The emphasis here is on Christian character, patience, long-suffering, joyfulness, and thankfulness. The word patience means endurance when circumstances are difficult, hard-pressing. Patience is an essential characteristic of the maturing Christian life. Do we have that? If we do not learn to be patient, we are not likely to learn anything else. As believers, we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to rejoice even in tribulation or affliction. The reason is that we know, again, we go back to the Word of God. How do we know that we are able as Christians to rejoice in tribulation? Because through the Word of God, we know what? Tribulation worketh or produce patience. And patience produce what? Experience. And experience what? Give us hope. Where do we find this teaching? Romans 5, verses 3 to 4. You see the interrelationship between the Word of God and prayer and our Christian life. We must never think that patience is complacency. Patience, brethren, is endurance in action. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark, says Charles Spurgeon. Beside patience, we need long-suffering. And so this word long-suffering means self-restraint, and it's the opposite of revenge. Patience relates primarily with circumstances, while long-suffering has to do with people or towards the person. God is long-suffering towards us sinners because of His love and grace. 2 Peter 3:9. Long-suffering is one fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. It is among the garment of virtues that the believer should put on. Colossians 3:12. Moses was patient during the contest with Pharaoh in Egypt, but he lost his temper with his own people, and as a result, he forfeited his right to enter into the promised land. Numbers 20. Patience and long-suffering go together if we are growing spiritually. Paul listed them as the marks of faithful minister of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 6 verses 4 to 6. You see, dear friends, God could bring water out of the rock, but God could not force Moses to be patient. And it is the same for us. God can do great miracles in parting the Red Sea, but God will never force you to be godly, to have godly characters. God's power is evidenced in our lives, not only in our patience and long-suffering, but also in our joyfulness. There is a kind of patience that endures but does not enjoy. Paul prayed that the Colossian Christian might experience what? Joyful patience and long-suffering. There is a distinction between joy and happiness. And the distinction is this. Happiness often depends on happening or happenings. If circumstances are encouraging to me and people are kind to me, I'm very happy. But joy is independent of both circumstances and people. The most joyful epistle Paul wrote, which was the most joyful epistle Paul wrote, the book of Philippians. And note very carefully, that epistle is called what? The prison epistle. Why? Paul wrote it while in prison, but yet joyfully he wrote it. And he was facing the possibility of being martyred for his faith. Where can we have such kind of joyfulness? In and of ourselves, we can never produce that kind of joyfulness in affliction or while facing troubles and difficulties. While going through all this affliction and pain in our lives, only God's Spirit working within us can give us that joy in the midst of problem circumstances and problem people. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Galatians 5:22. Joy is not something that we work up. It is something that the Holy Spirit Himself works in. Joy in the Holy Spirit, as Paul puts it in Romans 14 verse 17. The final evidence of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives is thankfulness. Christians who are filled or feeling or having more of the influence of the Holy Spirit will be joyful and thankful. Ephesians 5:18-20. When we lose our joy, we start what? We start to complain and become critical. The Colossian epistle repleats with thanksgiving. And Paul is giving thanks for the church in Colossae. And he prayed that they might grow in their thanksgiving to God. Colossians 1:12. The Christian life should abound with thanksgiving. Is my life as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, abound with thankfulness? Am I truly grateful to my Savior, the Lord Jesus? If not, why? One of the signs of spiritual growth is in our study of, or rather one of the signs of our spiritual growth in our study of God's Word or the Bible is thanksgiving. Our prayers should always include thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. The Christian who is filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, and watching in prayer will prove it by his or her attitude of appreciation and thanksgiving to God. Is that evidence in my life? Thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness. The selfish person says this, I deserve what comes to me. Other people ought to make me happy. But the mature Christian realizes that life and life eternal is a gift from God, and that the blessings of life comes only from God's bountiful and merciful hand. The last part of Paul's prayer is the one blessing that we ought to be to move us to constantly be thankful or to thanksgiving. Is that what? Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to unto God the Father, which hath made us what? Meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is one item of thanksgiving or blessing that we ought constantly to give thanks to God for. That we are meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The word meet means qualified or fit. God has qualified us for heaven through the finished work of Christ, his Son, on the cross. And while we are waiting for Christ's second return, as we enjoy our share of the spiritual blessing in him, we ought to constantly be reminded or be mindful that Christ has already done it all for us. Make us qualify to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. As we consider Paul's intercessory prayer, we can see how Paul specifically prayed for what the Colossian Christian need in the particular circumstances which they find themselves. Paul did not pray generally, but Paul prayed very specifically, particularly to the need of the Christian at that time. Brethren, we need to pray that we will be filled with the full or the perfect knowledge of God's will if we are going to live a life that pleases God. We also need to pray for our Christian conduct, how we live our lives in practical obedience in our walk and in our work. Lastly, we are to pray for godly character. Why? Because that will prove the glorious power of God the Holy Spirit working in our inner man. The power that leads to what? The power that leads to joyful patience and long suffering and ending with thanksgiving. Have you been praying this way for yourself? And also for your fellow believers? If not, would you begin to do so? If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never be able to understand and to enjoy the blessings of communion with God, the Creator of the whole universe. So, dear friends, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never be able to make this prayer. And you will never be able to receive such spiritual blessings that God promised to his people, unless you are in Christ. And so may I urge you, as you hear the word of God, as you hear the gospel, do not reject, do not delay, but come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely you, together with the rest of the believers, will enjoy such blessing, because God has promised that he will, to those who diligently seek after him, he will indeed fill us and made us conform to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and prepare us for our heavenly home. Let us pray. Our God and our gracious loving Father, we pray, we give thanks to thee for such a gracious and loving Father to us, your people. And we ask that, Lord, you will help us, that we will desire this for ourselves. And you have given us the means to receive such knowledge of your will, to
to grow in grace and to mature in our Christian character. Oh Lord, you have already given us all that we needed to receive all these spiritual blessings and all this, and made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so help us to appropriate it. Help us to pray for this. Help us to spend time in your word and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our plea and our cry to you, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to work this in us in this new week. Hear this our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.